Hello and welcome. It is time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 310. How are you? You look fantastic. It has finally happened. It is finally going to be a thing for us in the Fallout universe. We are finally going to get something that I've wanted to be able to do since 2009. For such a long time, we are finally gonna be able to play as ghouls in Fallout 76. It has given Kyle and I new reason to want to play the game, and we have to get our playthroughs in order. We have to get our times set up and make sure that we're all square and ready to go. But we can talk more about that in the third segment when I talk about the showcase, the Microsoft, the Xbox, the showcase that just happened about a week ago. As of the time of this coming out, I was actually at the gym when it started. I believe it was a Saturday. If it wasn't a Saturday, it was a Sunday. So all of the E3 is underway. So we're going to get into that momentarily. A lot of fun things to talk about. Thank you for being here. You look fantastic as usual. So I don't think I talked about this last week, and since we're kind of in the middle of E3 season, I'm just going to talk about it real quick right now. And that's the rumor that... Hello, can we focus? Camera? There we go. There's the rumor that Microsoft is going to re-retro or re-backwards compat, re-remake Halo 1 Combat Evolved, and that they want to put it on PlayStation. And I would just like to say, I've said this before, why not make all of the money? Think about how many people that grew up with PlayStations that always thought Halo was interesting and didn't get to play Halo, and now you can play arguably the best Halo on your PlayStation. If they put Reach on PlayStation, it's over. But I think Combat Evolved and Reach, I'm not big on 2. 3 is like the one I probably played the most, but Halo 1 was my first one. I played that on PC. Big fan. Big fan of Halo 1, especially on PC. And I just think it's nuts. I saw someone have a hot take on Twitter that was like, the show fumbled so badly with the Halo license that they're now going to put Halo on PlayStation. And I don't know if it's because of that. I think it's more just because Halo doesn't feel fresh anymore. Not since like 3 or 4 Reach, like that era, has it felt fresh. I haven't played Infinite. I have no desire to play Infinite, to be completely honest. I want to play just know what happens, but I didn't play 5. So 4 I went to the minute release for, and then it was, I don't even think I played 4 story. I think I just played 4 for the multiplayer at my friends. And even that I didn't play that much because I remember there was one map that kept getting played over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Anyway, Combat Evolved, the best one, is supposedly coming to PlayStation probably sometime within the next 50 years. So if you never played it, now is your chance to give it a try. But if you're a Fallout fan, I have a feeling that you might be someone who either plays on PC or Xbox. And Halo has been on PC and Xbox longer on Xbox than PC, but you know what I'm getting at. So we have a lot to talk about in our third segment, and I have a really, really fun piece of lore. We get to talk about a ghoul, one of my favorite things to talk about in the Fallout universe, and that's why I'm so excited to talk about what happened at the Microsoft Showcase, because we are getting the ability to play as our friends with a less fleshed face, if you will. Before I can talk about this week's lore, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the names that are on screen right now, the show continues to get bigger and better, and it grows, and it becomes stronger. And these people believe in myself, they believe in the program, and they want to see it get bigger and better, like I said. So I have to thank some of these names on screen right now, and starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Like I said, all these people are on the Patreon, from the $1 tier to the $10 tier. At the $10 tier, you get to listen to these episodes get recorded live. There's a couple other perks. Go ahead and check out the Patreon if you like the show and you want to see it become a bigger and better production. Again, thank you for your support. I love you very much. So this week's lore, like I usually do, I go to the Patreon and I ask the Patreon a question. And because we are getting the ability next year in 2025 to play as ghouls in a Fallout game, finally, we are getting that ability in Fallout 76. I wanted to talk about some ghouls. And I went to the Patreon and I said, hey, fellas, would you rather hear about Jason Bright, a cult leader of a ghoul cult, the leader of the ghoul cult, Bright's Brotherhood, or would you rather hear about Desmond Lockhart, a man who is well over 200 years old and is surviving solely on piss and vinegar? So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, consider checking out the Patreon, because from the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice, yes, your voice is heard weekly when I ask what you would like to hear from the Fallout universe. The $10 tier, you get to listen to these episodes, get recorded live. If you're interested, there's a link in the box below. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you Desmond Lockhart from Fallout 3's DLC Point Lookout. Desmond Lockhart is a highly irradiated fella with a special of 6 strength, 5 perception, 4 endurance, 4 charisma, 4 intelligence, 6 agility, and 4 luck. He is in Point Lookout in 2278, which is not something that I ever realized when I started taking the notes, and I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I get all of my lore there, and they state on the wiki that he is there in 2278, and yeah, that makes perfect sense because of the timeline of Fallout 3. It's just something that I never noticed, that by time you get to Point Lookout, it's 2278. Just a fun little fun fact that I didn't even realize. He's a ghoul with a rich, just hidden history. He's got character out the wazoo, and just, you never learn enough about him. And that's what I love about Desmond Lockhart. Desmond and Griffin, I believe his name is, who sells Aqua Pura, are two characters that actually helped me build out who Ron Ghoulman would become because of certain attributes they had, especially that little mustache and the hair that Desmond has. Desmond's one of the only ghouls that has hair. It's him and Snowflake in Underworld. They're two of the only ghouls in Fallout 3 that have any sort of hair. There's little things. There's the acumen of how they move and what have you. But Desmond is a very important character to myself, someone that I just genuinely enjoy seeing in the game. He has many enemies, both pre- and post-war, and he's involved with something called the Great Game, and he refers to it as if it's this thing that anybody could partake in, but it really only seems like a select few. It's a rivalry between world leaders, be them geniuses, be them politicians, or be them just extremely wealthy. These are people that controlled the world before the bombs had fell and wanted to continue to control the world in some capacity. Now, it's never said what Desmond did. I should say Desmond does have a British accent, so shout out to England. Shout out to the UK. It sounds like he says certain things. He says the soft A. I was reading it off the wiki. I don't have it written down, but it was referred to as using the soft A. He doesn't say fast. He says fast. He doesn't say bastard. He says bastard. It sounds weird when I say it with my American accent. A rivalry to see who could come out on top. According to Joel Burgess, who is a developer who left Bethesda in 2016, he actually did a lot of really cool stuff. He worked on Fallout 3, worked on Point Lookout 4 and 70, some of 76, and developed a ton of cool stuff. If I remember correctly, he developed, like, the walk, the entire animation for Liberty Prime from the Jefferson Memorial, or leaving the Citadel to the Jefferson Memorial. He's done a ton of really, really cool stuff for Fallout. Check out his wiki if you get a chance, just because he did a lot more. He did like a lot of crucial points in Fallout 3. He did a lot of stuff for Fallout 4. Really, really interesting stuff. He said, in reference to the Great Game, he says, it's just sort of like spy talk, right? So it's a reference to the idea that there's sort of like these machinations that are invisible. And even the Velvet Curtain, which is a reference to like the Iron Curtain and the Cold War. So it's just that idea that like statecraft and spy work and all that is just meant to invoke a vibe. So it does something really smart that I feel like Fallout does really well. And it tells you this exists and that's it. They do it with the Institute. When you meet Zimmer, when you meet the people of the railroad, they go, this is what synths are. This is what the Commonwealth is. We're going to give you enough. And my biggest fear with the show is that that's what's going to happen with New Vegas, is we're still not going to hear who is the winner. We're not going to hear that it was House. We're not going to hear that it was NCR. We're not going to hear that it's Kaisar. We're just going to hear something along the lines of, there was a war. Does it really matter who won? Look at the state of Vegas. But you were told about the great game. And you were told a little bit about Desmond's backstory, his history, and you were given just enough so your brain can fill in and go, well, that sounds like this might be an analog to something in my world. It seems like it might be something that I'm familiar with already. I actually have written in my notes, so like not real, not a real thing, but like definitely a real thing. By Desmond's own account, getting back to Desmond himself, by his own account, he's 250 years old. The Lone Wanderer can say to him, do you think I'm supposed to help you for free? And Lockhart will say, I'm 250 years old, so I think I have a shiny thing or two that might interest your tiny brain, ellipses. Now, it's up for debate whether the Game of the Year strategy guide, remember those Prima books you used to be able to get back in the day? I don't think they do them anymore. I think Fallout 4 or Fallout 76 was one of the last ones they ever did. Anyway, I have one, and I think that they should be considered canon, at least somewhat canon, because there's other stuff in there that should be fleshed out. So, you know, take the next bit with a tiny teensy bit of a grain of salt, but this comes from Fallout 3 official Game of the Year edition, page 69, Desmond the Ghoul. I'm reading this from the Nukapedia, the Fallout fandom wiki. Before the bombs dropped, Desmond was a player and a player in international intelligence at the highest levels. Desmond's motives and obsessions have been scarcely affected by the apocalyptic devastation of the planet. Desmond and those he would consider his peers knew for some time that the Great War was inevitable. Desmond himself could have been directly involved in the actions leading up to the nuclear exchange. Facing the large nuclear holocaust, global leaders and members of the intelligence community made their personal bids for survival in the new world. FEV, cryogenic stasis, AI consciousness, even, in Desmond's case, controlled exposure to normally lethal doses of radiation were among the wildly risky and experimental techniques pursued in the name of survival in a world without modern infrastructure. Old rivalries and vendettas were not forgotten in the ashes of nuclear winter. Those who managed to survive quickly set out doing what the bombs had not, wiping out any other remnants of the old world that may be a threat to personal and political agendas. Now, even so long after they should have all died naturally, these scattered figures seek power and jealously guard their secrets. Desmond's mission has long ceased to be political or ideological. He knew, as experience had proven tenfold, that as long as any of his colleagues lived, he would be hunted. His purpose is simple: kill or be killed. A lot is said there. A lot tells you about what the great game actually is, and also doesn't tell you much about the great game at all. But the most important thing that I think we need to talk about is the fact that Desmond technically is a pre-war ghoul. He was exposed to a crazy amount of radiation, thinking it would prolong his life. Dude made a huge gamble. Turns out he was right. He is a ghoul now, and I love ghouls. And he did it because he wanted to outlive the other people. The great game comes to an end, and then what happens? You just live? Money doesn't exist anymore. What real power do you have? Now, there's a lot of evil to be said about Desmond, obviously. He's someone who's vying for power, who's vying for some sort of money. But he has two dogs. And if I'm pronouncing these names correctly, it's Freki, F-R-E-K-I, and Geri, G-E-R-I. And I think it's interesting when they give an evil character, even though he has good karma, they give an evil character dogs. It's always a sympathetic move. You know, there's that picture of, I don't know if I could technically say this on YouTube, so I'll say it like this. German soldiers from 1930-something to 1940-something petting dogs, and it's one of those where it's like, even the bad guys like dogs. It's one of those things where it's like a propaganda move. But I think it's interesting when you see that he has the dogs, but also I think the dogs that he have are very much just dogs that are there to use. He doesn't really care. When you get to meet him and his pups, you meet them at the Calvert Mansion, which is where he gets attacked by the tribals. The tribals enlighten one is told by what is his enemy, Professor Calvert, to go to the Calvert Mansion. This, him being there, is very much a dig at Calvert, at his nemesis. He's trying to pull up all the information from the old mansion that he can. Desmond even says, I'm going to try to do this in a British ghoul accent, so I apologize if it's hella cringy. I'm pulling all the data that I can from Calvert's computers. Everything the little bastard gathered is here. And then, when it's done, I'll leave this place to sink into the sea. There's no hatred quite like 200-year-old hatred. I'm known to hold... I have what's called Italian Alzheimer's. I forget everything but a grudge. And I'm trying to get better at that, to be completely honest with you. I'm trying to forgive. I'm trying to forget. I'm trying to move on. Life is too short for you to hold a grudge. But imagine hating somebody for 200 years. He must not even know what he's upset about. His name is Professor Calvert, the man that he's beefing with, that Desmond Lockhart is beefing with. So there must be something. He must have been a scientist or a collegiate teacher or something. But imagine being upset for 200 years, dude. I'm upset for like a year and I'm like, this is too much. I'm upset for 6 months and I'm like, this is too much. Now, this is where you come in. You get to choose whether you want to help Calvert or you want to help Desmond, and you can help them settle their beef. And you never really find out what the beef is. You don't really find out anything about what the great game is. You just help this crazy ghoul or this brain in a jar and you kind of just go about your business. You're given keys and you're given rewards and you're given what have you, and you're sent back to the wastes to explore Point Lookout. I've recently did this for the second or third time. I really haven't done it that much. When I 100%ed Fallout 3, I got a chance to go back and really explore what was there. And I really, really enjoy the idea of who Desmond Lockhart is. I really enjoy the idea of this two century, if not longer, almost three, because he's 250 years old, and let's say they met when they were 20, so almost, even if he met at 30, almost 2.5 decades long of this battle between these minds of these smarter individuals. At the end, if you let Desmond live and you don't go with Calvert, when you ask him what is he going to do, he said he's going north to go for his next opponent, the next person he will go after. Will we see Desmond Lockhart in another game? If they put it in New York, I think it's dumb if they don't, even if you see him in like Jersey, because I'm assuming they put a little bit of New Jersey in it, unless they just did Manhattan and parts of the other boroughs. That's a conversation for a different day. Fun things about him, just some notes again off the wiki. If you let him live at the end of his quests, when you beat Point Lookout, he just ceases to exist. He just disappears. There's no way to speak to him again. Once he leaves the lighthouse for good. Like I said, we're not really sure if he is a good guy, a bad guy. His karma is technically good, but if you kill him, you can take his ear, which is something that you need for the contract killer perk, which is an evil perk. And before the quest of Meeting of the Minds, every time he's knocked out, because he is an essential NPC, you can pickpocket off of him an ear, and you could kind of have like an unlimited money glitch. Calvert, like I said earlier, is one of the best things that modern Fallout does, is it tells you just enough. It tells you, this is here, this exists, here's three lines of dialogue, have fun with the rest. When you meet Emily Ortal in New Vegas and she tells you about having family in Arroyo, she tells you enough. She tells you everything you need to know. I have family in Arroyo, it's okay up there, but all the good work is being done right here. That's all you need to know. The great game. I'm heading north. There's a bunch of sophisticates who are in on this. It's something that Fallout does really, really well. It lends itself to fan fiction. It lends itself to just other fiction. It also leaves the world open so they can go to these other places later and expand upon they can talk about more the thing that they were just talking about in previous games. You go, oh shit, that line of dialogue that seemed throwaway, it makes the entire universe seem bigger. I really like Desmond Lockhart. I really like Ghouls. And I hope you liked all of that, because that is this week's lore. All right, guys, it's time for the big third segment. I got a big one this week for you. This week, we got to talk about the Xbox Showcase of 2024. A lot happened, and I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it to you. We have to talk about a lot of games, and I don't have notes on every game because not every game seemed that important. If I left out the game that you were looking forward to the most, I apologize. I tried to take all the stuff that seemed the biggest, and I wanted to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about Call of Duty. It's Black Ops 6. You could play Black Ops 1 through 5 and probably get the exact same story and experience. The only thing that interests me about Black Ops 6 is that they might have a no Russian style mission about 9/11. That's all I really care about, because I lived through 9/11. I remember being in kindergarten when it happened. Other than that, I don't care. And if it's on Game Pass, maybe I'll get Game Pass for a month just so I can play it for free and then never think about Call of Duty ever again. So let's talk about some of these games. Before we talk about some of these games, we're going to talk about everything PlayStation announced at their State of Play for this E3 season. Cool. Huge missed opportunity, right? Even if they did one, I don't know what they talked about. I could be talking out of my ass completely, but I feel like PlayStation, Sony has been completely quiet on this all of E3 season. And again, I may just be wrong. I may just be out of the loop. I might not know what it is anymore. I might just not be hip anymore. I might be out of the loop. But I didn't hear anything about it, but I heard a hell of a lot about Xbox. So starting from the top here, we're going to talk about Doom the Dark Age. What a great concept for a game. Doom in medieval time. You're fighting like demons with swords and shields, and you have grappling hooks, and you have a shield that like spins, so you're like Captain America but like cooler, and you have a shotgun, and then there's a gun that shoots skull fragments. I still need to play Eternal. I haven't played Eternal yet, and I really like Doom 2016, so I really want to play Eternal, really want to play this one. It looks fast, looks frenetic, it looks like the type of game that I really would enjoy, and it comes out in 2025. State of Decay 3 was then shown. And I'm a fan of survival games. I like the idea of like, here's your weapon, here's your stuff, go out and do what you have to do, figure things out. I've never played State of Decay 1, never played State of Decay 2, and I still kind of feel like there is a little bit of zombie fatigue in me. I love zombies. Back in like 2013 when that was all the rage, 2011, 2012, 2013 when that was all the rage, I loved it. And then I kind of got to the point where I was like, all right, I get it. It's coming back around. And then I saw that like the zombies seem to be fungi based, which is cool. I like The Last of Us, but it seems like The Last of Us has already done it, and there's a show and a game, so why are you doing more of it? If it's multiplayer, and again, it's going to be on Game Pass. If I have Game Pass, I might check it out if Kyle wants to play it with me, but it's a game that I just thought was interesting and I should talk a little bit about. Dragon Age: The Vile Guard. It exists. I've never played any of the Dragon Ages. If it's your thing, I'm sorry that I don't have anything else to say about it. Looks neat. That's about it. Starfield Shattered Space. There's already new stuff in Starfield. So if you're hearing this and you have Starfield and you've been looking for a reason to go back, there's some new locations, new weapons, new gear you can go check out. This DLC pack, though, does come out in 2024. It's in like deep, deep space, like far out space. It focuses on House Varun, which is something that I played about 30 hours of Starfield before I put it down, and I was into it, but I started doing so many side quests that I never followed through with the main quest. And then I heard that you should really beat the main quest and then go back on your second playthrough and do everything, which whatever. That's not how I wanted to play. I wanted to figure everything out the first time and then kind of speed through the second one and then take it slow on the third one. But for those who enjoy Starfield, more stuff is coming. I know it has its fan base. Starfield is a fun game if you like space and you like games like Starfield. I mean, I know that's a shitty comparison, but it has its fan base and people are excited for this. And I have a feeling Shattered Space could be like a Shivering Isles for Starfield. And then we got 76 news. We got 76 news. They did a great little infomercial thing. I always love when they do like a real life, especially now that the show is out and the show is canon. And I feel like the show shows pre-war stuff way better than it could in game. Whenever they do like a telethon thing, like they have in this little commercial, it just makes it feel real. It's like, hey, we're trying to do a fundraiser so we can raise money for Vault 76 so people can live there. And then at the end of it, the guy's like, and if you don't like having skin, you, I mean, I have in my notes here, it just says Ghouls 2025. We're going to get to play as ghouls. We're going to get to play as ghouls. We're going to get to play as ghouls. Ghouls are something we are going to get to play as. What a time to be alive. Little 11, 12, 13-year-old me who loves Fallout 3 is going nuts, going, I can't believe I get to play as a ghoul. Finally get to, Kyle and I are going to finally get to play as Ron Goulman and Dr. Victor Steinemann that we wanted to play when we were playing D&D tabletop back in the day on the YouTube channel, on Old Man Vince on YouTube. There's a couple of, I think it's like three, maybe four episodes of a podcast that we did. That was a D&D podcast, but it was based in Fallout. And I played Ron Goulman and Kyle played Victor Steinemann. And we can now do that. 76 is a well more fleshed out game. My first character that was supposed to be Ron was just a really ugly, skinny fella because I really wanted to be a ghoul. And now once I hit level 50, I can be a ghoul. And the Brotherhood won't talk to me. Good. The Brotherhood shouldn't be in 76. Other factions that don't like ghouls won't talk to me. Good. That's what I want. I want to have a prejudice towards me in a game. I want people to not talk to me because I'm a ghoul. Because racism doesn't exist in Fallout, but people hate ghouls. And I want to be able to experience that. That's a part of the world we've yet to been able to experience, what it feels like to be on the reciprocating end of ghoul hatred. I've never done a video or talked about it openly, but my big thing for Fallout 5 would have been that you get to play as a ghoul, and there's a way that you can like go back to your hometown, and they're like, what the fuck is this thing? Oh my god, it's Gary. Why is Gary fucking not fleshy anymore? Why is his skin and nose falling off? I had this whole idea. And now, I'm gonna finally be able to get to fucking play as a ghoul. I'm so excited. Expedition 33, I have written down here, French, question mark, cosmic horror, question mark, Souls-like, question mark, JRPG, question mark. It comes out in 2025. I was so blown away by the French shit, and you know me, love me the French. I just wanted to write that down. South of Midnight looks really cool. South of Midnight is one of the games that I'm like actually excited to play because I own an Xbox. The art style goes really hard. The setting is really dope. The Louisiana, the Creole, that accent I really like. It sounds like real people talking. The art style is like the stop motion. It's like animated on thirds. It's really, really interesting. It's a third person action adventure over the shoulder game where you get to play as a female protag. It's like just clicking, checking all the boxes for a game I like. Fun setting, female protag, third person action adventure, you know, parkour elements, open world, the things that I like. It's a game that I really want to try. Also, The Big Catfish Man I really enjoy. The monsters seem really cool. There's like a church that implodes because there's a big turtle underneath, and it comes out in 2025. Yo, Perfect Dark looks sick. I never played the OG. It looks immersive. The stealth looks really fun. I'm really actually looking forward to this one. Another one that I'm really, really, really happy that I have an Xbox to play. But wasn't this game in development hell for years? Like, wasn't this just a game that was like, it's never coming out, it's coming out, it's never coming out, it's coming out? Or is that the one that I'm thinking about with the pigs and the girl? Because I remember it was one of like the first games either on the 360 or on the original Xbox was like a later game in that line or something. Ah, man, it's either Perfect or maybe Perfect Dark. I think Perfect Dark had two games. It was like one on the N64 and then one on the original Xbox, maybe. I'm excited to play it. It looks fun. It looks like I can play it non-lethal. I can play it stealthy, everything I want. Fable. I believe this is a reboot. I like how the heroes are kind of shitty, like they kind of were in Fable 2, if I remember correctly. So here's my thing with the Fable series. This Fable 2 comes out in 2025. I want to play this. That's all I have written down. But here's my thing about Fable. When I went home for Christmas, I brought a bunch of games with me. One of the games that I took with me is Fable 2. And Fable 2 is a game that I played a lot of. I replayed that game. I made different characters. I seen all the endings, this and that, whatever. I used the glitch so you can have all the money and you could buy all of Albion. I feel like I've done a lot, if not most things in that game. I don't think I did much of the DLC. I don't remember, to be completely honest with you. But I remember the last time I played Fable 2, I was in high school, and I remember getting through it and being like, oh, I got the Daikatana, I got that flintlock that was super cool, and that's about it. I don't really remember enjoying the game, and I really want to play Fable 2 again to see if I enjoy it now that I'm almost 30, and we're almost halfway through the 20s. I don't know if I'm going to get the time to do it, but every time I bring this up to people, they always say, did you play Fable 1? And I say no, and they say play the Lost Chapters. So maybe I'll go back. I'm excited to see what this Fable is going to be, what it's going to look like. The studio that's developing it, I believe, only makes like racing games. So I'm excited to see what is happening. So then Mixtape got shown off, and Mixtape, these are my exact notes. Mixtape shows a disc man with not a tape, with a disc. The VOD was completely, so I went back, I watched this once, like I said, I was watching as I was getting back from the gym. I think I said the beginning of the episode. I was watching as I was getting back from the gym, and then Kyle and I were kind of texting each other back and forth as it was going on, and I was doing my post-workout meal. The VOD is completely soundless for most of it. Like 89% of it has no sound because of the music. It's copywritten. This could be like a game that it very much speaks to me. I don't know why I really like cheesy, coming of age, dialogue heavy, melodramatic. It just seems like this could be my kind of game. Like I could really, really like this game. I don't know if I will. I'm going to give it a shot. It kind of reminds me of Life of Strange. Life of Strange shows up in this event, but I have no love nor hatred for Life is Strange. I know not much about it, so I didn't really write anything down because I've heard Life is Strange is either great or it's the worst thing ever. I've never heard it's all right. But I really am looking forward to Mixtape because I want to know how cheese it's going to be. Another Bethesda game that got brought up is the new Indiana Jones. I'm not an Indiana Jones fan. I didn't grow up with the movies. I'm not big into it, but I also said the same thing about Star Wars, and lately I've been super into Star Wars, so who knows? The exploration looks fun, the whip gameplay looks fun, the dialogue feels like what I've seen of Indiana Jones. I don't think I've ever seen a full movie of Indy. I do know that I went to Disney as a kid and got to see the Indiana Jones live show and was really into that, so maybe I would like it, but also I'm watching a live show, so there's an element of performance, there's an element of like real shit going on, not just a camera set up, do the shot, and that's really reducing movies, but you know what I'm saying. I actually watched like a guy perform in front of me. The dialogue, like I said, looked great, sounded great. It's just not really for me. But I might give it a look-see. I might give it a try. Avowed got showed. We're getting it this year, 2024. The world looks fun. It looks like a pretty game. It's Obsidian. And if I play this game, which I plan on doing, I'm playing it because I think the writing is going to be top-notch. I'm not one for mythology. Not mythology. I'm not one for like... I actually just saw, for the first time, I saw Lord of the Rings, the first one. The Fellowship, I think, is the first one. And I was actually surprised with how much I liked it. I grew up on Kevin Smith movies, and there's a Kevin Smith rant. I don't know if it's from him or a character. I know it's associated with his movies for such a long time. Where it's like, there's only one return, and it's of the Jedi, not of the king. And then they would make fun of how, like, the movie's just about walking, and it pretty much is just about walking, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to like it. It could have also been the company I had with me, but it's an Obsidian open-world RPG, and I'm really going to check it out for its writing. That being said, looks neat. Atomfall. All right, Atomfall is a game that I'm playing. It's a game that I'm going to pre-order. There's another Atomic Heart I need to play sometime soon. I need to go pick up a copy of that. Because that seems like a game I'd really, really like. Atomfall is, I have right here, my kind of game, exclamation point. It comes out next year, 2025. It's Atompunk. It's retrofuturistic. It's European. It's got mechs. It's a dystopia. It's just like, there's like a weird anomaly that's going on somewhere that you have to go investigate. And I can't tell if it's British. I can't tell if it's like Ukrainian. It's this weird amalgamation of European cultures. There's like radios that people are talking on and these, it just seems like my kind of game. This is a game if I can get physically and I can pre-order, I might just do so. Assassin's Creed. Kyle was supposed to be here. He's been working extra shifts. And I said to him, you know what? If you can come on, I'd love to talk about this with you. If you can't come on, don't worry about it. Do what you can. Do what you can't. If I don't hear from you, I didn't hear from him. But I want to hear his take on this. It's a ninja samurai-esque Assassin's Creed. Seems neat. I am not an Assassin's Creed guy. I played the first two, and I played Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 2, and then I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I actually didn't beat Black Flag. I played it, but I didn't beat it like I did the other two. What I did do is beat the Adewale DLC, and I had a really good time with that. But Assassin's Creed is one of those series that I've never been super, super into, but when I have questions about it, Kyle's my guy, so I kind of wish he was here to talk about it. I don't feel like I should really talk about it unless Papa is here. Stalker 2. Never played the first one. Big fan of the idea of Stalker 2. I went to school with a kid who referred to it as hipster Fallout, which 2010, 2011 was a beautiful time. And I've always wanted to try it. I've tried playing it once on Steam. It was one of the last games I ever like really streamed. And some kid from Ukraine showed up and was talking about it. I just remember that because his English wasn't great. And he said, hello, I am Ukraine. And I said, oh, good. The whole country's here. That should boost my numbers real quick. Maybe get a partnership out of this. I like that the game is entirely in a different language. I'm a big fan of that. It's very immersive for me. I don't care if I have to read the subtitles. This, again, looks like a game that I would love, be it the combat or the weapons or the survival or the monsters or something. This seems like a game that I'm really going to enjoy, and I really would like to play it. I'd like to play the first Stalker just to beat it. I got to a point that was incredibly hard, and even the people in the chat when I was streaming it were like, this is a hard game. Like, I hope you didn't think this was going to be easy. It's a post-apocalyptic... I'm pretty sure it's post-apocalyptic. It's one of those apocalypses where like there's still grass and there's still like people. There's just like less of people and there's like little towns and stuff. So I'm always, that's how Twilight 2000 is, the tabletop game. And that was a hard thing for me because I had a hard time wrapping my head around the way that world works. But I would very much like to try it because if it is a video game, it's more in depth. It's more immersive. So I might have an easier time with that. Then right before the last game that they surprise announced, they show off that there's a new Digital Series X coming out, some other new hardware. They're coming out with a 2 TB special edition of the Series X. I don't know if this was part of it. I don't believe this was announced with it, but there's a Master Chief controller that rips, that it's all green. It's got black details. And then the D-pad is the color, that orange color of Chief's visor. And then the last thing we got to see was Gears of War E-Day. They used the motif of All Around Me Are Familiar Faces, Worn Out Places. That was like the trailer for Gears 2 that everybody remembers. It's like that commercial and the Halo 3 Believe commercial that people like always talk about, I feel like. It's cool that we get to see that E-Day, what it was like on E-Day. If I remember correctly, the government knew it was going to happen and didn't do anything about it, but we get to see Dom and Marcus and where they come from. I've only played Gears 2. I played a little bit of Gears 3, but I've really only played Gears 2, but it's exciting to see. What are you guys excited for? I would love to know, because that's pretty much the showcase. Again, PlayStation didn't show up, didn't show out, nothing. I don't even know if Nintendo has done anything yet, but we are still just in the beginning of June, the first 2 weeks of June. So we have the opportunity to see some more stuff sometime soon. I hope you guys have enjoyed that, because that has been this week's episode. My name has been Vince. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 310. Links in the description to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. If you like the music, there's also a link in the description there to Feather Duster, the intro song by the one and only Shane Ivers of Silverman Sounds. You can get all of his music at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. And like I said, my song that I use is called Feather Duster. Links in the description. Check out the Patreon. Check out my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter Children. Check out the Redbubble. All that fun stuff. I hope you guys have enjoyed. I hope you guys are loving life. Hope you guys are happy. You know what? Hope you get a little kiss. Maybe on the forehead or something. All right, guys. All right. I'm going to go. I'll see you guys later. Be safe. Be good. I love you. Next week, same time, same place. Fantastic. Love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.